I'm just so pleased to have joined the Sports Shop for the first time, man. A colleague of mine, last time we was together in person, we was trying to negotiate America Online and CTC Net deal, trying to put people together. So pleased to have the CEO of Solify, BK Fulton. BK, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, doing good, brother. How you doing?
Man, well, you know, that's an interesting question to ask black people these days, and people in general. But yeah. Just your overall, where you are, I know you're the man of the world, and you always have something to say. Your reaction to what's going on right now.
Wow, I appreciate that. I mean, you know, all of us tore up over what we saw on national TV. That just can't stand. And so I understand the young people's frustration. I understand everybody's frustration. It is important to have a civil society. It is important to have a society where people can go out of their house and not worry about if they're going to make it home or if their children are going to make it home. And so what you see now are people who have felt put upon for a very long time, and they just can't take it no more. So people trying to figure out what to do. And then what us people that have been in the struggle a little longer, and some of us that have, you know, civil rights veterans and have been head of companies or leaders, what we have to do is try to help channel that energy into stuff that's constructive. Tearing up our communities, we learned that lesson. That's not the way to go. You got to vote. You've got to build programs. You got to invest resources. You got to help educate people so they get the actual stories, the true stories. And we have to have a dialogue, but we can't just talk. We got to walk the talk.
Man, we are talking to the CEO of Solify, and I'm just so. BK, it's so much I want to talk to you about. And my colleague K Mac he's a former Verizon guy too. So you guys have something in common there, man. I know you was a CEO of Verizon. Was it West Virginia? BK.
I headed West Virginia, and we sold that business. Then I came to Virginia, took over Virginia. Then took over the whole Mid-Atlantic region. Had about 44,000 employees. It was an honor to serve. In fact, I was just talking with the general counsel of Verizon this morning. The company has pledged $10 million to social justice organizations. So I hit them up right away. I'm proud of that. That's what we need these companies to do. Nike's come out. Viacom, CBS has come out. Netflix has come out. HBO has come out in support of the peaceful protest and in support of us having these go forward conversations. We can be the change we see. I've seen police officers kneeling with the protesters. I've seen protesters protecting police. And so those are the kind of people I want to ride with. That's the kind of America I want to live in. I have three boys, and I worry about them boys. I couldn't sleep the first two nights. I couldn't sleep at all. And so, you know, just the other day, some young people that I mentor came to me on Thursday. BK, can we help? What can we do? We want to do something. We want to do something. You teach us to do something constructive. What can we do? After what you want to do? They said, well, we want to mourn. We want to fight. I said, hold on. I'll tell you what. You all are a media program. How about if we use your tools, use your talent to create a message and a way to capture the best of your generation, and then feed that back. They said, okay, what are we going to do? So, man, they came back, and we made a video. We created a program under their nonprofit called signmeupnow.org. We created ability to donate.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And get positive information. So we're projecting about $10,000 or $15,000 in donations by the end of the month. And the more people hear about it, it's a way for them, for young people, they're running this whole thing, to really do something constructive and lasting. And it's a way to ease the anger, because at the end of the day, you know, we can't just keep doing the same thing because we keep getting the same result. It's time to make a change.
Wow, outstanding. That's exactly what I wanted to talk about. We're talking with BK Fulton, the CEO of Solify. And, you know, and I would agree with you, Verizon, my 22 years of Verizon, I can attest, you know, they are probably one of the most progressive companies that understand how to get involved in their community and how to make an impact in their community and put their money where their mouth is in some areas. So, I mean, they're not perfect, But, you know, I guarantee they're doing a lot more than you would ever imagine, especially when it comes to the community that they reside in. So that's good to hear that those guys are stepping up and kind of showing some leadership there. One of the questions.
Right, brother. As a matter of fact, the irony is, so I retired from Verizon in 2015 after about 11 and a half years there. And my first job at Verizon was head of a group called Strategic Alliances. So one of the things we did was did the company's first corporate responsibility reports. The other thing we did was work with people like Brother Reese, work with the National Urban League, work with all the affinity groups across every ethnicity. And those are the groups that today, because of that relationship that was established with the company, got right. that $10 million. Got that $10 wow. million. So the point I'm making is, we have to engage. We've got to be plugged into these corporations. We've got to plug them into our community. I love what you all are doing with this radio program, because you're reaching out to the people and you're saying, look, y'all show us some love and we're going to give you some love back. And we work together and we move this thing forward. There's an African proverb that says, if you want to run fast, run alone. But if you want to run far, run together. It's time.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear it. You know, you talk about some of the other areas, because one of the things that I've really, really, really have been kind of pushing in the last couple of days, last day or so, is every person has a role in this movement. Every person has a role in this change and this pivot that's happening right now in this country. And it's all going to be different. And hearing the example that you gave those young men is perfect, because a lot of people are trying to figure out, well, I'm not black, or I'm not this, or I'm there. No, Reese had a story about a young lady, you know, she was just standing there holding up a sign. You know, white lady, it's amazing if you just sit down and just think, okay, what could I possibly do? If you're in the political scene, if you're in the legislature, just call it out and say, look, we need to have more oversight. Let's try to put some legislation forward. If you're in the community, say, look, we need to bring awareness to certain areas or certain things. Or if you know law enforcement, have a conversation with a law enforcement officer and say, listen, what's really going on? How can we figure this out? And then try to figure out how to bridge the gap. Everybody has a role. Everybody has a role.
Absolutely. I mean, people are astounded when we were working with young people this weekend, because they wanted to do it. We did it in 48 hours. And they said, BK, had you ever been in a situation where you had difficulty with the police, you know, the governor, you know, all these people, you would have never had trouble with the police. I was like, I almost got shot when I was in graduate school. They're like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so they captured that. I mean, an officer, I'll tell you the story real quick. I was coming, I had a fellowship, a Sloan fellowship to 40 public policy schools, Harvard, the whole nine. I'm coming out the subway and I hear this, hey, you. And I don't, that's not my name. I'm walking. I'm 50 yards from my house. And then I hear it again. Hey, you, a little louder. Then I hear it real. Hey, you, screaming. And it sounds distressed. So I turned around, see if somebody needs some help. And the cop is gun drawn, pointing at me, both hands. I'm like, whoa, what is it? What's going on? He's like, you just robbed somebody in the subway. I'm like, no, I didn't. I just came from class.
Right.
You know, I had on a Harvard sweatshirt. I had on glasses and a backpack. And so he grabbed his microphone, had the gun, described the perp. And it said, black male goatee. And I'm like, sir, he just described half the brothers in Harlem. Why don't you check my ID? I got an ID. And so then he said, well, what about your friend? I was like, what friend? The guy right here was another guy about, you know, a few feet behind me. I was like, I don't know him. Yes, you do. And then anyway, fortunately, I had my ID around my neck. And so I didn't have to reach in my pockets or nothing like that. And I said, look, my ID is right here. Can you look at it? And then he saw, you know, new school, graduate school. And he was like, okay, you can go. But that was scary. That was traumatic. And so everybody on the video that we show, one guy's an estate lawyer, another guy's a younger gentleman who runs his own clothing line. All of us have run-ins with the police where it could have been one of these very tragic endings. And it's just got to stop. There's a presumption of guilt. We live in a country where it's supposed to be a presumption of innocence. In fact, we have one of the things I did after I retired. So ER mentioned that I wrote a couple of books. So I wrote 8 books last year, 8 children's books. We're going to release a novel and a couple more books this year. But we also did a bunch of movies. And so Byron Allen's company acquired One Angry Black Man for worldwide release. And we actually released that on Friday, worldwide, on demand and on DVD.
But let's just BK, let's just talk about that, because that's I think that's happening next 3 days that's going to happen. So let's talk about, how did you get you, as you can tell, people, you can talk to BK Fullerton, CEO of Solidify. He's jack of all trades. The guy's doing a lot of things. How did you get in this space, BK?
Well, look, I've always enjoyed good stories. And so for me, when I was in engineering school at Virginia Tech, it wasn't going so good the first year. And I'll admit, a lot of students, you go to a place, you go from your community to the big white university, and it don't quite feel right. The music don't feel right. And you're getting your footing. And so I would spend a lot of time hanging out, playing basketball, getting too much sleep, and trying to run the honeys a little bit.
Exactly.
And then you found out they were running you.
And so I said, well, okay, I'm going to plan my escape from Virginia Tech, and went to the library. And they had the E-185.5 section. Any Dewey Decimal System in the world, the E-185.5 is the section on black folks. So I started reading these books, and I read about Lewis Latimer and the filament in the light bulb that allows the light bulb to run. Nobody told me that. I learned about Granville T. Woods and the invention of the third rail. Most people don't know that the third rail in New York was invented by a brother, and he sold a patent to General Electric in 1901. Most people don't know that. And so basically, I started reading all this stuff, and instead of trying to escape from tech, I was like, I can do well here. But then I started reading my books and going to class and started making A's and A pluses. And I was like, man, this doesn't make a difference when you read the book and go to class.
So, not as difficult anymore, is it?
Not as difficult anymore. So check it out. So I went from the probation list to the dean's list to the board of Virginia Tech. I was flying in a jet back to the college to help govern the school. And then when I retired from Verizon, I said, well, wait a minute. If reading about this stuff can put my life on blast, then what if I could make movies about positive stories and our achievement, not looking at slavery films, not looking at domestic violence films, not Boys in the Hood. I don't want to shoot Pookie again. Pookie done got shot too much.
Right. Many times. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. About what's real, what's going to take us to the next level. And so I said, wow, we're in this celebrity culture. So if I write the script or if I finance the movie, then they got to say what I tell them to say, and we can say something different. So we're delivering a different message. And it's just crazy. I think it's divine, the timing that when we have on the anniversary of the Tulsa race riots, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of peaceful protests, and then the killing of someone on national TV, we have a film that's going to come out that deals with all of these issues, and it's called One Angry Black Man. I couldn't have planned it better myself.
I said that when I was teeing this up, I said the time is impeccable with this story, it's just amazing. So give us a little teaser. What is the story about?
All right. So basically, One Angry Black Man tells the story of a senior, Mike Anderson. He's at a quintessential New England liberal arts college called Frost College. Play on words. And he's 8 weeks away from graduation. And the film opens with him dealing with an interrogation where he's falsely accused of something. And then he heads to class after they let him go. And it's the black literature class with his favorite professor. And they're talking about James Baldwin, Ta-Nehisi Coates, August Wilson, Zora Neale Hurston. And it's a mixed race class, mixed political, mixed sexual orientation. So you get all these different perspectives, having honest conversations, and he's angry because of the false arrest. He's angry because people don't see him, although he's the scholar, and he actually saved the person who had accused him of a horrible crime. And all he worked for could have got thrown away in an instant. And so this movie is the honest conversation, and it's in a college classroom, but it's the honest conversation that we need to have, and it lays it out beautifully. And then at the end, you get the reveal on what the crime was, and how it could have messed up his life. And I think people are gonna really enjoy it. I think people that have seen it, we won the Oscar Michaud Award, we won most of the major festivals that we've been in, and people have said, "Thank you for respecting my intelligence. Oh my God, gotta see it. This is one of the best films I've ever seen. It's honest." And I couldn't have planned it any better, and that we got major distribution with Freestyle Media, a Byron Allen company, and that is distributed worldwide on every platform. So whatever platform you have, One Angry Black Man is going to be up there on Friday.
Wow, man. So if I got Prime Video, I can get on there. I can get on every platform, all those things.
Every platform and DVD. And this is our fifth release movie. We're actually working on our 12th movie, and we're the first production company in the history of cinema to do 4 feature-length films in our first year. Love.com is on Netflix right now. We had Taye Diggs, John Cusack, George Lopez, and Luke Hemsworth in our first movie, River Runs Red. That's been on Showtime. It's been on Netflix. It's still out there. We've got a movie called Atone that's out there. And then we have Hell on the Border, about the first black U.S. Marshal, Bass Reeves, was distributed by Lionsgate. So we've been working with some major distributors, and we're just this little Virginia-based film company that's trying to work our corner, do our part, and get others to see contributions of human beings of all stripes in a better light.
Wow. Go ahead, Mac.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I just love hearing stories about, you know, people that are that are helping us take our destiny in our own hands, right? Let us tell our own narratives. Let us tell our stories. Let us tell stories that, quite honestly, most people would find it absolutely shocking that, you know, an educated black man, this would happen to you. Or that's just because they're used to just saying, yeah, but what did he do? Yeah, right. But what happened first, right? All of those kind of things. So that's why I'm pushing conversations more than anything. Like, if you can do nothing else, just have a conversation. Like, people that never really thought about asking you that, they probably can have that conversation with you, and it may change their entire perspective, and they may have an opportunity to put a stop to some things that are just completely wrong. But with all of that said, making the film, putting films out that tell our stories, that tell stories that, like you said, don't insult our intelligence about our experiences, what would you consider to be a major pushback by trying to do these things, by being involved and putting stories out like this?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is there's a presumption that people don't want positive narratives, and they want to see the Pookie Got Shot films. They want the violence. They want all the negatives. And I beg to differ. I mean, not only are we doing movies and we're on our 12th film, we have a free magazine that we're in our second year now. We featured Stevie Wonder, Quincy Jones, Vivica Fox, Adam Leipzig. On the cover of the June magazine, we have the former general counsel of Airbnb. We've had the co-founder of Netflix. And people are like, how in the world are you getting those kind of people for your magazine? I'm like, see, that's where you underestimate us. You think we don't know these people? You know,
right.
we got them on. So we have the magazine, we have the movies, and we have a TV network that we can broadcast any content we want to everybody's phone in the world. And we give the magazine away and the TV network. So you can download it. So it's Soul Vision Magazine and soulvision.tv. And we're not stopping. We're going to make more movies. We hope to make 70 movies. We have some of the movies we do soundtracks for. So for the Love.com movie, we actually released the soundtrack in early May, and my wife got me writing songs and singing on the soundtrack.
Man, that is crazy. I tell you,
I wrote a love song to it called "Will You," right? I'm gonna hit you a little bit of that. Will you lean on me? Baby, can I lean on you?
Look at that.
You know what?
So, BK, we're going to do a duet together, man.
Because that's the other thing, gentlemen. When people see us as one-dimensional, then they don't appreciate all the gifts. And we're not bringing the gifts just for our people. We bring it to the world. And so embrace, love. Let's pay it forward. I need you to see me and you so I can see you and me. We all cousins trying to find our way home. We the same human family living on the same rock. And we need to start acting like that.
Mm. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable conversation. BK Fulton, again, definitely make sure you one angry man. You got to make sure you're down. It's June 5th, man. And you're going to hear more about him. He's going to be on one of our drop-in sessions in the next couple of weeks, so we're going to go real hard on everything. Talk about all the projects. Talk about all the things he had coming up forward. And we look into just an unbelievable partnership with this guy. He has a lot of things going on. And the sports show, I can be right there with him, trying to help him advance the conversation, though. Absolutely.
I appreciate it, gentlemen. Yes, check it out. One Angry Black Man on Friday. It's an honor to be with you. I respect what you're doing. Keep doing it. You're doing a great service to the community, and you got some of the best sports radio on the planet.
I appreciate
Thank you,
BK.
Thank you, my friend.
Good to talk to you soon, my friend. Take care.
Talk soon.
All right.